episode 71 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is February 3rd, 2012. I'm Matthew. This is James. We're going to talk about tech. Let's just move along with our misery and pretend like today is not happening.
I don't even know what to say. We should just not talk for 2 hours in protest.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Stupid Baltimore.
Well, so we were going to bring an awesome episode, but instead you get this.
It was going to be testosterone filled. We were going to be cheering on the army of our tribe and their victory over the army of our competing tribe, Baltimore. I don't even want to say their name, really. But
they don't deserve it.
Next year, already looking ahead. Next year, my boy Colin Kaepernick, Willis, and kick some butt.
I'm just saying, should have been Alex Smith.
You know, despite the loss, I think it clearly shouldn't have been Alex Smith.
Look, here's all I can say. Thank God for power outages, because I think it would have been a 49-3 game.
Oh,
had that
yeah,
not
for
happened.
Sure. See, and this is where we bring it back to technology, because technology failed with electricity failing, and there you have it. That's how it goes.
That's how tech works in the bigs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was pretty crazy, right? They're like, so yeah, power went out, and we literally, like, so how about this? Like, power goes out, and literally a nation pauses for 30 minutes.
And yeah, what's crazy?
Sit there on our couches eating chips going, wow, bummer.
So I made a mistake. I actually made a mistake because I was disheartened and disenfranchised. So went outside to talk and not pay attention to the inane newscast.
Then they came back and went, what the heck? They waited for me.
No, wait a second. It gets worse. They started playing again, and I was still so disheartened that I didn't go back inside until they had already scored. And by that point, the juju, the mojo, was with me sitting outside not watching the game.
So guess what I did
for the second half of the game? I watched through a mirror from the outside, listening to everybody else hoop and holler and enjoy the game because I didn't want to mess up the juju and throw off.
Hey, you know what? It's not crazy if it works. I got
exactly.
That message loud and clear.
I had to make my sacrifice.
Well,
anyway.
Matthew, clearly you didn't sacrifice enough. So
Clearly. It's rough.
All right.
Anyways,
let's talk about something more uplifting, space.
Exactly. And technology and stuff. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about this week. I'll do the official opening. This week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they are developing. See, I can't even say that in a bummed-out voice. I start talking about tech, and I get all excited again. Anyways, you got a short disclosure? Before we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah, I root for the 49ers. I will maintain a 49er fan. And I also happen to work for HP, and I don't represent HP at all during this podcast. I do not represent the 49ers either, actually. But I will defend them to the death.
And I will do whatever it takes to help them win, even if it's as ridiculous sitting outside and watching the game.
You know what's worse? You know what's the worst about that? Like, and this is what happened to me. Everyone I was with was a 49er fan, except one.
Don't you hate can't even let that person be that. They can't be there. You just, you know, go away.
I know.
Go
You're just
away.
Like, what's,
Nobody
no.
likes you.
Yep.
That's awful. That's an awful feeling. Anyways, if you want to follow us throughout the week and listen to our inane texts about sports talk, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at Matthew D. Furlow.
And I am at James Furlow.
And there you'll see such classic tweets as, I still don't think anybody has it better than us, which I said to the whole world Just saying, because nobody does. And if you want to do throughout the week, go to furloughbros.com. We got all sorts of stuff, like our Twitter link for the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, which is at Furlough Bros. You can also go to our Facebook page or Google Plus page or all sorts of fun stuff. Check us out. Friend us, follow us, retweet us, tweet us. Okay, cool.
I'm just so downbeat right now. I don't even care. Really.
I know. My testosterone's at a low ebb. So this week, my hero, my man crush, Elon Musk, was extending his support to the Boeing company. I don't know if you've been following this at all. They made a new airplane. It's supposed to be the super advanced, like, future of aviation plane. Well, Airbus is out making the biggest planes that have ever flown consumers around. Boeing was making a bit smaller version of a plane, but it was, like, super advanced. And the whole fleet of them have been grounded for problems that they're having. One of the big things that they have is they have backup power, and they're all lithium-ion batteries, so, like, gas cuts out or whatever, they could still fly because they got these batteries. Well, it turns out it is a good bad idea, except that it turns out these batteries like explode and catch on fire when they're flying them around because of the pressure changes. Yeah, so that was actually the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, there's a number of problems, but that was the one that ultimately the FAA was like, how about you not fly those anymore? And Elon Musk.
Yeah, they grounded the entire fleet, didn't they? Until they figured it out.
Yeah, and Elon Musk, it turns out, who, for those of you who aren't super fans of him like mine, which you should be, but if you're not, Elon Musk is was the founder and creator of PayPal, made an unbelievable amount of money, and now is the owner and runner of Tesla Motors and SpaceX, and both of those projects are kind of unique in that they use a tremendous amount of backup power from batteries. Tesla, obviously, electric cars, they've got all sorts of research, but SpaceX, they use similar chemistries to what the Tesla motors do, but they have the unique characteristic of being able to be launched from sea level and make it all the way to space. Basically, Elon Musk was like, he's friends with the chief engineer of the 787 project, and he was like, so our batteries don't explode as they go up into the air. If you want, we might be willing to share some of our secrets for a small licensing price.
Wow.
On how we do that. And you guys can integrate our methods and technologies to protect and secure your batteries so that they're safe from killing people. At this point, there's no real word on whether or not that's going to happen, but I just think this is like, I basically just wanted to share the story about the coolest man in tech.
Your man crush. I understand. Yes.
I realized as I was saying it that there's like nothing more to it. I just think it's awesome. He's the sort of guy that's just like, by the way, I have an awesome solution to your terrible problem. And Boeing will probably go with them or something similar. But, yeah, it's great news.
Fair enough. So, thinking about getting Windows 8 Surface Pro.
Nice, yeah.
I am not. And one of the reasons is that if you were to get the 64 gigabit edition of the Surface Pro, your actual storage space would be around 23 gigabytes.
Wait. So you got the 23 gigabyte. Sir, I didn't realize they made a 23 gigabyte Surface Pro. I
thought they don't. They make a 64 gigabyte.
Okay, so what you're trying to tell me is I buy 64 gigs of space and I'm only allowed to use 23 of them.
Well, you know, 41 gigs is required for the operating system and the partition for backup and, you know, for some other.
So what you're trying
stuff.
To say is that I am going to be allowed to use 36%, I'll be generous, round up, 36% of my hard drive space I'll actually be able to store videos and stuff on?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so I have a 64 gigabyte iPhone, and I do not have 64 gigs usable. And that's traditional, that's normal. You're not usually able to have every gig. And there's a number of reasons for that. Number one, how your computer displays gigabytes is it displays this as a factor of 8. So every 124 megabytes is considered a gigabyte. When they sell them as every 1,000 megabytes is considered a gigabyte. Why they're legally able to do that, I am not sure. Sure feels like false advertising, but every company participates in that. That's just an industry standard. And so inevitably, like a lot of times you'll get a phone or you'll get a chip or whatever that only has 64,000 megabytes in it, which is not actually 64 gigabytes, because 64 gigabytes of storage, as far as the computers can, would have to rather, I should have done this calculation ahead of time. 64 gigabytes would actually be 65,792 megabytes, which if they were selling it would be a 65 gigabyte hard drive, which is ridiculous. So that usually knocks a couple of gigs off, and then of storage, and then obviously the hard drive takes up space. Like, that doesn't come for free, so
yeah, but it doesn't take up that much space, right? I mean, the point of all of this is to say that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous, and I will tell you why it's ridiculous. Right now, I have 17.5 gigabytes of available space on my iPhone. I have a 64 gig iPhone, and I'm looking right now at what I have storage. I have basically movies and music, which, you know, is primarily what I use for my entertainment devices. They use 33 gigs for video and 2 gigs for music. So I literally, my iPhone would be able to carry more movies than the but considerably, like twice as much, or rather a third more. I guess if I'm going to be fair, movies than a friggin' Pro can. And that doesn't include apps and programs, which are bigger than they are on the iPhone. The apps on the iPhone are insanely small, because it's a phone and that's how most apps are written. This is ridiculous. This is actually ridiculous. Like, it literally takes it from kind of a cool concept to unusable at the flip of a hat. At the flip of a switch, rather.
Well, don't worry. You can buy the 128 gigabyte one, and you'll still have 83 gigs of usable space. And from what I understand, too, you can actually go into like the lower level systems and get rid of the partition and stuff, which you're just like, wow, man. Welcome back to like 1995.
Exactly. What's ridiculous about that? I mean, like, and I don't know if you know much about this, but there is no recovery disk. There's no recovery like stuff for it. You can only do a recovery from the hard drive. So there's certain like limitations where you could take off the partition, or you could take off the recovery and stuff and free up a lot of space, but they won't let you recover from anything except the system. So it's just it's just crazy what they're doing. Like, it really is. I don't know. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. It's really kind of pathetic. I don't know. It's frustrating because it's like, obviously we always come off as like,
well, it's not frustrating. I mean, they're playing by the normal standards. They're just, their operating system is huge.
What I mean to say isn't necessarily, it is frustrating for me, because it's like, if you recall back to our prediction show this year, where we referred back to our prediction shows the year before, there was a lot of optimism a year and 2 months ago about what Windows 8 was going to be and like the future of Windows, and this idea that this is really an opportunity for Microsoft to pull at the stops and to impress and sell systems and give us a reason to get excited about Windows again and get excited about the future of Windows.
Right.
And there's just these little stumbles where you look at them and you go, like, this is a detail you can't just gloss over this like it's no big deal. You know, Apple doesn't make a big deal about this stuff, because as far as they're concerned, it's something that the consumer should never even realize might have been an issue. And then all of a sudden it becomes like this glaring, it's not even like a, oh wow, you're operating system takes up 14 gigs, and you only, I mean, 14 gigs of operating system would be huge. But for whatever reason, like, as long as you're under the 50% of the hard drive bar, that's okay. But you're, they're using 54% of it is 64% of the hard drive for,
yeah.
You know, for, it's just, I don't know. It's, you just shrug your shoulders and go, what are you guys doing over there, man? And you're, like, you're literally taking this, you're taking what could, you know, and I would come back to, I really do believe part of the problem with Windows 8, one of the major hurdles for consumer adoption is familiarity. You're battling the fact that people aren't familiar with it. But Windows Pro is the perfect, you know, except for the cost, it's really the perfect platform. It's the no compromises window. It's got all the gestures and ability of a tablet. It's kind of what I imagined the iPad was going to be before the iPad was actually launched, which I thought it was going to be a slimmed down version of Mac OS X, where run everything you'd want. It was a Mac, but in a tablet form. And that's essentially what they did with Windows. And it's like, it's a good idea. And then like, but then you do these things where you're just like, come on guys. They're really the problem is it's the no compromise Windows, but it just has way too many compromises and they're ridiculous compromises. So you just like squint at them and go, what were you thinking? I don't know.
You know what the Windows 7 size is?
How many gigs?
I couldn't find it. I was just curious.
Windows 7 total of 10.5 gigs of disk space. Maximum memory limit for Windows 7 Premium is 16 gigs. So,
significantly smaller.
Yeah, it's significantly. Well, one of the big problems here is that it's the biggest problem that they run into, actually, that I've heard. It's not even the partition for backup. It's the fact that you can't do an install, or you can't like reinstall or anything, or do a recovery from a separate disk, which is basically it's a backup copy of Windows on top of everything else. And so it's like they've got Windows, which it runs on, and then they've got the compressed backup version of Windows, which you can reload from. And it's like double Windows on this one hard drive that's immovable. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's Microsoft.
Right.
It just means the Surface is probably not going to sell as well as you would like it to. You're going to go with a laptop with a touch screen instead.
Right, which I think is okay. As much as people like complain, I would never use a touch screen with my laptop. My use of it for over the period of a half an hour at a store was, actually, this is pretty sweet. I actually like this. I could get used to touching my screen occasionally, especially because with a laptop, laptops tend to be pulled so close to you. I still think the desktop version of a touchscreen is ridiculous, but I think the laptop makes sense, and they basically just, they shot themselves in the foot here.